The portion of scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14. Dear friends in Christ, signs are an important way for us to communicate in this day and age. Although they tell us where to turn or what exit to take, they are advertisements telling us what's on sale or that this store is located here. Micah and Noah know that when they see the golden arches, it's time to eat chicken nuggets. Maybe your spouse gives you a different kind of sign indicating that maybe you should cook supper that night. Today, we see a sign given to us from God. Now that sign was first given King Ahaz. No, the Aramites, the people of Aram, enemies of the southern kingdom of Judah, had attacked Judah and besieged Jerusalem. And now word was spreading around that the king of Aram was going to ally himself with the northern kingdom of Israel. And together they were going to try to destroy Jerusalem. So King Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem shook with fear. They thought they would certainly die. So God sent his prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz to assure him and comfort him that they weren't going to die, that God was going to protect them and deliver them. And to show Ahaz that he was serious about keeping his word and that he certainly would not let his people perish at this time, he told Ahaz to ask for a sign. He said, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. Now he told Ahaz, ask for anything you want, and I will do it to show you that I will keep my commands. But in an act of unbelief, Ahaz refused. He refused to do what God told him to do. And so God said, fine, you won't ask for a sign. I will choose a sign. Our well-known verse for this evening. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now what good was that sign for Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem? Well, it seems as if God is saying within 9 months, you will see that I will fulfill my promise. Within 9 months, that I will save your people. Israel and Aram together will not be able to defeat you. Despite their plans, they will not succeed. They will not come to fruition. And that's exactly what happened. Within 9 months, God did save his people. Whether we recognize it or not, we are in a similar predicament to Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem. But our enemy isn't flesh and blood. It's not enemies we can see necessarily. It's not the Aramites or the people of the northern kingdom. Our enemy is against sin, death, and the power of the devil. We're powerless in this fight against our spiritual enemies. Through various means, the devil tempts us. Whether it's from friends or family or the lure of bad websites or maybe society tempting us to sin, the devil tempts us each and every day. We're often powerless against the devil. We often fall into his temptation. We constantly sin against God's commands. We were born in sin, and there hasn't been a day gone by that we've kept all his commandments perfectly and pure. And we know the just punishment of sin. It's death. We look back at our lives, look at society, and how sin is prevalent on us and wickedness, and we begin to question God. We begin to wonder if God is on our side, if God really is going to guard us and protect us, and if he is, then why is he making us suffer? Or why does the wickedness seem to prosper and righteous seem to suffer? And we question God's love for us. We see that we're sinners and we justly deserve death. None of us is going to escape death. But the wages of sin is not just physical death. No, we know that the wages of sin is eternal death. That's what we deserve for our sins. Eternal damnation with the devil. We have big spiritual enemies, enemies that we cannot defeat. There's nothing we can do about it. So God sends a sign to us. That's the ultimate fulfillment of this well-known verse from Isaiah. Not that God was just going to save his people from destruction, from his enemies. But as you already know, it's ultimately fulfilled in Christ. The virgin is Mary. The son born is Jesus. This prophecy is really about him. It's a sign of God's love. Think of another famous passage from the New Testament, John 3:16. God loved us so much that he sent his son into the world to suffer and die for the world. He gave up his one and only son to die in our place. Christ coming down, it's a sign from God that he truly does love us, despite who we are and the many times we have sinned against him and rejected him. God still loved us and sent his son. We don't need any other proof that God loves us, although he does give us plenty of other proofs, doesn't he? We take a look at this sign from God, this sign of love. We see just how remarkable this gift and this act of love truly is. We think about the name for this sign, Emmanuel. Now, in the original Hebrew, it's two words. The first word is with us. The second word is God. So, with us, God. And as Matthew tells us right in his gospel, Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is called Emmanuel. Jesus' name means God with us. Why? Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God with us. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, God took on flesh. God became man and dwelt among us for a while. That birthday we are looking to celebrate in a couple weeks, that's not the birth of just some babe. That's the birth of God. Of course, we take a look at the words from Isaiah 9 that we're focusing on these 3 weeks, and we see his name, Mighty God. There are many instances, many passages in the New Testament that to attest the same thing, the many passages that call Jesus God. Perhaps the most famous one is also talking about his birth, recorded in John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or at the end of his time here on earth, the week after Easter, when he showed doubting Thomas his hands and his feet, that he truly did rise from the dead, and Thomas calls him my Lord and my God. And notice that name from Isaiah chapter 9. His name is Mighty God. Throughout his ministry, Jesus showed that he had the power and might of God, performing miracles throughout his ministry. Oh, he walked on water. He changed water into wine. He fed thousands of people by just a few little pieces of bread and some fish. He showed that he had power over nature, that demons had to listen to him. On 3 separate occasions, he raised people from the dead. No one here can do a single one of those things. Yet Jesus did again and again, showing his power and might of God. But he's able to do something else that we can't do. Something far greater than any of those miracles. Save us. Only he has the power to do so. And by saving us, the first thing he did was come down from earth, making himself lowly, taking on human flesh. And throughout his life, his 30 plus years on earth, not once did he sin. Even though he was tempted like us each and every way by the devil, yet he never once fell into the devil's temptations. Never once did he fail to obey God's commandments. Where we fell, Jesus did not fall so that he can give us his perfect life when he died on the cross. And yes, Jesus did die on the cross. God died on the cross. But that's something that Jesus did willingly. He willingly went to the cross and he willingly died so that he could take our sins upon himself and give us his perfect life. He willingly went to the cross so that by the shedding of his blood, he can pay for our sins. And so that he could rise 3 days later to guarantee that because he lives, we will live. That's the birth of this baby that we look forward to, that we long for. The birth of the mighty God. Mighty not just in a powerful and strong sense, but more importantly, a God who was mighty to save, who came down to this earth for that exact purpose, to save us from our sins. And that's why the virgin birth is so important. There are many who deny that a virgin can ever give birth to someone. But it teaches us that Jesus is our Savior. From his mother Mary, from the Virgin Mary, Jesus had his human nature. Human, so that he could serve as our substitute on earth to make himself under the law. But conceived by the Holy Spirit, so that he could keep that law perfectly and give that perfect life to us as he took away our sins, because no man can redeem the life of another. He had to be both man and God in order to save us. All taught and guarded by this one verse, a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will call him God with us. Jesus was born of a virgin. And yes, in just over 2 weeks, we will celebrate his birth. But that doesn't mean that Jesus ever had a beginning. No, we look quickly at his other name for today, Everlasting Father. As God, Jesus is everlasting. He's eternal. Without beginning, without end, he always has been and always will be. There was never a time that he did not exist. He was present and active in the creation of the world. He's the one who called Moses out of the burning bush. He is the great I Am. Which makes it all the more amazing that the eternal, all-powerful God who created the world chose to become part of his creation and lived in a womb for 9 months. An act of love in order to save us. And like a father, Jesus brings his children into his fold again and again. Through the waters of baptism, he makes us his own dear children as he washes away our sins and gives us his perfection. And as the Father loves his children, so the Father, Jesus, loves us. Loved us so much that he was willing to come down to suffer and die to take us home. Now a sign communicates a lot in this day and age. Ahaz refused to ask for a sign, and so the Lord gives us the sign of signs. And what does that sign show us? God's love. In giving up the glories and riches of heaven to take on human flesh to save us. And so as we glance and we look at those signs for the Lord's second coming, we look back and look at that sign of His first coming. And we know that we stand forgiven. We look forward to eternal life with Him. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.